gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 518. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey. And we have the whole crew up in here. Let's start off with Paris. What's up, Paris?
What's going on, everybody? I'm excited to do this. And thank you for the birthday wishes last week. That was really nice of you. Because usually you're mean.
I'm never mean. I'm the nicest guy ever out there.
Not in the chat, you ain't.
Dude, guys, go to Twitter and just check out the tweets of Paris. He's mad every day. He's mad at the world. He's mad at me. I haven't done anything to him. Anyways, we also have Poston. Poston, what's up, man?
What's up? Bring some optimism to this pessimistic table over here. I'm doing good.
You drinking again?
I love you guys. You guys are like brothers to me. No hate. No need hate around here. It's pure love. But yeah, video games. Let's get to the good stuff because, holy crap, November. It has begun. And if you're listening to this right now, you are probably playing a big AAA game right now as we speak. I don't know how you found time to stop playing one of those games and listen to this, actually, but thank you, because we got some to talk about this week. Some cool stuff to talk about this week.
Wow, somebody's been drinking. You've been hitting the sauce. Just cussing and everything.
Wow. It's crazy. Anyways. Because he was drinking last week, and he said some weird things at the end of the last episode about a certain game, which I don't agree. But that was all drunk talk. It's okay.
It's Paulson. All right. People opinions make are mistakes. Mine. It's not Gamertag Radio. It's for four individual people with four different opinions that sometimes clash, but, you know, for your amusement.
All right. And also we have Peter. Peter, what's up?
What's up? How you doing?
Good, man. What's up with you?
I'm over here playing the AAA title called Destiny. I'm going to go there.
Wow. It's got legs. Nobody mentioned the name.
I kept my mouth shut last week, you know, just I didn't want to say nothing. Some people called me out for it, apparently.
And they're going to call you out again.
So just, you know, I kept my mouth shut for three shows, and I'm back with Destiny Talk. What's up?
Actually, P is going out of town, man. We're not going to see him for a while, man. So take care, man.
Yeah, I'm hanging out.
Way ahead of you from Fallout.
Oh, yeah, as usual. You're on easy mode, so I expect that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Low blow.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it and listen to our past episodes and send us your feedback. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook. We're all over the place. Also, subscribe our podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other places out there. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. So it is time for fan mail.
fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
Pete, I hope it came out loud.
You go there?
I heard it. It all counts.
It's all good. So, yeah, we have a lot of questions here, man. Who wants to start off with the first question?
I'll start.
Wow. Okay.
I'll start. This one is from Mending Mercy. And he says, what's up, GTR crew? Been a listener for almost 3 years. Love everything that you guys do. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. He gives his gamer tag and Twitter name. And then he says, have you guys ever been called to an event or got a game to review and the game company tried to bribe you or convince you to give a good rating? I know it's a bit off topic of the current games, but I had to ask. Hashtag Halo Talk Radio. Hey, Mending, thank you for the email. We really appreciate it. I'll just say from my own personal experience, despite what some people on Twitter may think of this podcast, no, I've never had anyone come up to me or trying to convince me to give a game a good rating or talk positively about it on a podcast or anything. If anything, I've had people, you know, on from various development studios or publishers come to me and tell me, thank you for being negative. actually pointing out something about the game that I didn't like instead of just sugarcoating everything. So,
yeah. And it's how you say it too, Paris, because we've been to many events throughout the years. And every time we meet like one of those like developers or committee manager or even PR, they'll tell us straight up, just tell us your feedback. Tell us. Now, if you go to your podcast or blog or YouTube and all the other places and you start cursing and saying all these crazy, exaggerated conspiracy theories about reviewing a game, I think that's not going to help the situation. If you want some, if you want change, if you want the game to be better, or let's say the dashboard or whatever it is, you just got to say the right way and just speak your mind. Vote with your wallet.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's that simple.
It's really all about being respectful. I mean, because think of it this way. These game developers, these publishers and everything, this is a job for them. This is their livelihood. They have families. They have bills to pay, all that. You need to be respectful of that. They're not just making a game purposely to be bad. Like, for example, Halo 5. Obviously, if you've been following me on social media, I've been very critical of the campaign story. But I'm not going to get on a podcast and just rip, oh, Halo 5 sucks and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to say crazy things like that. And what I would say is what I didn't like about the campaign story. You know what I mean? And you do
it. That's fine.
You do it in a critical way that's providing feedback so that if someone from 343 by some miracle did hear me and they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe this is something we need to consider when we make the next game. Because at the end of the day, you criticize these games or you say something negative about them in the hopes that the next time this development studio makes a game, they'll take that into consideration and try and make a better game, period.
And remember during, we're going to go to the next question, but I just remember this now that when we interviewed Aaron Greenberg, and you guys could go back and listen to that during E3 of this year and even previous years too. What was the thing that he said to us, Paris, during the interview that Pete was there too? He was like, that's good that you guys are speaking your mind, saying good, the good and the bad. It pushed us to make the product even better, you know? And I think we're doing the right way. Just being ourselves and being real.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. End of the day, we're all gamers. We want to play games that are fun. We don't want to play crappy games, you know? So we've been doing these podcast stuff for X amount of years at this point. There's been some great games that we absolutely love, and there's been some games that have been terrible. And you try to find the balance of giving your opinion, but doing it in a respectful way, whether it be good or bad. That's all it comes down to.
All right, so the next one is from 20 Obsidian. So first off, he shouts out the Elite controller. He says he really, really digs it. Not gonna lie, it has intrigued me. I've had a couple of friends who've gotten it and they say it's like night and day. I'm just $150 is kind of steep for just a controller, in my opinion. But his question, and it's something that's really dear to my heart: do you think The Division will become a phenomenon for console MMORPG shooter? This game sounds, looks, and feels epic. I have a lot of hopes put on this game. I did get a chance to play it, put some hands on over at E3, and I really walked away impressed. Until we see more, I mean, it was a real closed environment of what we were, what we were given, but I have a lot of hopes and expectations for this game, and I hope it's not one of those, games that has a lot of expectation and just for whatever reason doesn't live up to it, whether it's just a bad game or, it fails to deliver. It just doesn't execute. So, I'm just going to say, I hope so. I've got a lot of hopes for it. I know Paris and the rest of the guys got to watch us play. They didn't necessarily get any hands-on time, so I don't know how they feel. I know, we briefly talked about it at E3, and we had Khalif from the Spawn on Me podcast talk about it as well, and he had some negative things to say about it. So if you guys want to go back to the E3 archives and check that out, you guys are more than welcome to. He also wants to know, whatever happened to the death bet, where we were supposed to predict who's going to die during the year? I don't remember that.
What was it?
That's new to me.
I don't know. We're gonna have to go back into the archives and reach back. But apparently, we said we were gonna do a deathbed. But do you guys? let's stay on topic to The Division. Maybe we can go back to the deathbed stuff. Do you guys have any hopes or expectations for The Division?
I'm curious about it. I'm not super excited, but it looks interesting. I think it's something different for the Tom Clancy's series.
But is it the good kind of different, though? And this is my hesitation, because as Pete alluded to, I didn't play the Division, but I watched Pete play it at E3, and I got really frustrated on his behalf of how RPG it actually was in practice, versus when I hear Tom Clancy, I think tactical military action, and now somehow we're trying to blur that line into getting at some of that Destiny money. I'm just not buying it personally, so I'm going to be the skeptic on this one, and probably until the date comes out, because from the beginning, the messaging versus the gameplay that I've seen are like completely two different fields. So you're showing me this apocalyptic New York setting that seems like could be potential for really cool tactical team-based combat, and then I'm seeing numbers pop over people's heads. I'm seeing Pete shoot people in the head multiple times. They're not dying because numbers. I'm just not seeing it. But again, it might have to be one of those things, or maybe it's not for me at all, and I won't know until I play it. But compared to with what I saw at Ghost Recon this year, night and day difference. I'm all aboard the Ghost Recon train at this point, and Division, I'm very skeptical. So I got to see more.
So, and that was one of the things I remember you were lucky enough to have, not hands-on time, but you got to see the developers playing it in front of you.
I got to see them play it, yes.
So, having seen what you saw from The Division versus what you saw on Ghost Recon, from what I can tell, sounds that you're more impressed and looking forward to the Ghost Recon stuff, which I'm still a big Ghost Recon fan. That was one of the first, you know, shooter games along with Rainbow Six that got me into that genre. So interesting.
Yeah. It looks very, very good though. I can't front that trailer that they showed that during E3.
Yeah, and once you they probably put out more gameplay, probably E3 this next year, you'll get the scope of what I was trying to convey at E3 is, like, to me, this screams next-gen shooter. And in The Division, I'm not seeing it right now. I'm just seeing a very pretty game with a lot of RPG elements that I'm familiar with from other games. So,
but that's what it's like supposed to be, though.
A safe bet. So Paris is probably right. I mean, again, this is probably was focus grouped, so maybe I'm just not the focus group for this at all. But, you know, I like Ubisoft's games. I love Tom Clancy's games. I'm still probably going to play this when it comes out, but just I'm so far away from being hyped about this. I'm not as far as you can be without being negative at this point.
Well, here's the thing to remember about The Division, and I guess the ninja's trying to take my voice away, but the thing to remember about The Division is there's a beta coming out next month. So we're all going to get hands-on with it, and we'll be able to see for ourselves. And just going back to what you guys were talking about at E3, yeah, at E3, I was not that impressed. I try to put my Destiny bias aside, because fair or not, that's the game this is going to be compared to. So I want to judge it for what they're attempting to make it. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see in December when because I believe it's Xbox One is getting like some exclusive window for the beta or something like that. I seem to remember
the beta and the DLC stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Typical marketing.
So trust me, it's like Pete, it's been something that has been on my radar since they first announced it a couple years ago. I'm excited to see what their shared world shooter vision is going to look like when it finally comes out. And hopefully, again, with the beta and everything that we see, and the fact that they've delayed the game from when it was originally supposed to come out, they'll fix some of the criticisms, and, you know, we'll get, see, and again, this is the thing, excuse me, about these, all, you know, these shared world shooter games, is the game that we get on launch day will not be the game that it's going to be a year later. You know what I mean?
That's usually a morph process where it just evolves with the game and makes it hopefully better.
Yeah. So we got to remember that too, that the game, there's probably going to be some frustrating things, some annoying things when it comes out at launch, but with community giving the developers feedback, hopefully they can evolve the game as time moves on, and it'll be all the better, you know, a year down the road. So again, Diablo 3 is a perfect example of this, and then here more recently with Destiny, we've seen the same thing. So I'm still hopeful for The Division. I am. I definitely want to get my hands on it and play it.
Now, I just don't see Ghost Recon coming out in 2016. That game is coming out 2017.
It's not done yet. Yeah. I'd say March 2017 is a solid time frame.
Yeah. Can I sidetrack on a game that was confirmed on N7 Day to come out in 2016? Mass Effect. It's coming. It's coming 2016.
Hey.
I cannot wait. That is already my most anticipated game for 2016. Easily.
Yeah. Now, I wonder how the game is going to be. It's going to be like,
if it's like just Firefly, the game, I'm all on board, man. Just
so far, two is the best of the series.
Yeah, it is. Only because 3's ending was bad, to be fair. If 3 had an amazing ending from start to finish, it'd probably be the better game.
Nah, but it wasn't even about the ending. It was more about, I don't know, it was just, it felt like some crazy epic, the whole time was just crazy, man.
Well, yeah, well 3 you was know? Building, oh, I don't want to get sidetracked, but I felt 3 was building towards something amazing all the way up until that last 30 minutes, but it started to become very aware to me that, oh, wait, I'm really over-excelling this to myself. This is not as awesome as I thought it would be. And you're right, compared to the proto Reaper that you fought at the end of 2, you know, that was way much cooler.
Yeah, that was
in the
crazy,
scale of it. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to follow up on a really good sequel. We've seen this in a lot of games.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
What's your favorite month? Is it July? Is it December? Is it October? How about free TV month? This month, when you purchase any Samsung 9 Series SUHD television 55-inch or above, you're going to get a free 32-inch Samsung TV. Let me repeat that. If you buy any Samsung 9 Series SUHD TV 55-inch or above, you're going to get a free 32-inch Samsung TV. This offer ends December 5th, 2015, so go visit your participating Samsung SUHD retailer. The Samsung 9 Series SUHD television is the best way to view 4K, and you guys know I love me some 4K, and is the best television Samsung has to offer. Check out these features. It is the most superior level of color, contrast, and brightness. It has a brighter, more true-to-life picture with a wide range of colors. With its immersive curved screen, every seat is a great seat. Plus, right now, when you purchase any Samsung 9 Series SUHD television 55-inch or above, you're going to get that free 32-inch Samsung J4000 Series television. Let me repeat that one more time. You buy that 55-inch or above Samsung 9 Series television, you're going to get a free 32-inch Samsung J4000 Series television. While supplies last, for free 32-inch model and any additional restrictions and limitations, see participating retailers or visit samsung.com/free TV. Again, that is samsung.com/free TV.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
We have more emails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I say one thing? Can I say one thing before we move on?
Jump on in.
Yeah, sure.
Boston, you're crazy. Mass Effect 3 it never felt right. It was terrible. Okay, let's go. Let's
go. Really?
Good to you.
Wow. Okay.
All joking aside, something about it just felt off the entire time I was playing it compared to 2. 2 was like just this epic, dirty dozen. Just again,
from
one of
start
the
from finish,
yeah,
one of the best games of last generation.
Oh, no doubt, in my top five. The pride 3, that I felt keeping all my squad members alive at the end of 2 is, I mean, that's hard to place in other games. Yeah, totally
again,
what you mean by that.
Here's an example of why storytelling can be so important in a game, because that the way they told that story in Mass Effect 2 was epic. It was an epic sci-fi adventure. 3 just I don't know what they're doing. It just felt off the entire time.
So a couple of months ago, actually the day after E3 ended, I was lucky enough to get gifted the Mass Effect bundle for PC. Mm-hmm. And I can't get into 1 or 2. I tried to get back into it, and I can't get into it.
Not
I don't
even
know
two?
What it
really?
Is. Not even 2.
Because you already know what to do, maybe? I mean, I don't know what
else. No, because 2 had a totally different... I don't know. It just... And maybe it's because it was on PC and it's on a smaller monitor or whatever. I don't know. But I just... And maybe it just doesn't translate to 7 years later, you know, where
that
I'm
could
used
be it.
One
age
terrible.
Know. I wouldn't play 1 again.
And the problem is, Mass Effect put me to sleep. The first one. The original one. I tried my hardest when it first came out. It put me to sleep on my couch. And then... But Mass Effect 2, just
No, you know what happened with 1? Man, we got to go to the next questions. But you know what happened with 1? It was just that the way how the design, it looked beautiful, but it was just taking too long to go from A to B. It was just too much of that.
I'll defend that
way
game.
Way too much of that. But 2 was right. I think they did it right. Anyways, next question, guys.
Next one's from Alan. Shout out to Alan. Question is for mostly Paris, but we're going to jump into this too. He said, you said on Twitter that after speaking with friends and such about Halo 5 campaign, you feel like you owe Gamertag Radio listeners an apology for your view because the story is that bad. You don't owe us listeners anything. You and Godfrey had one of the most even-tempered, fair views of Halo 5 I've seen out there. It is clear that this game is obviously the first act in a much bigger story, and even though the ads are misleading, and that cannot be argued, it's hard to call the campaign bad with an unfinished story. Were there issues with pacing at times, unclear narrative direction at other times? Sure, but I found that many of your views to have been a bit too emotional about this campaign. We all wanted questions to be answered and some conclusions to be had, but this was obviously a setup campaign, as you mentioned correctly during your review. It's not a campaign just unfinished. You guys had an objective review and not one that any of your guys need an apology for. It was great. Thanks. Appreciate the email, Alan. Danny, Godfrey, would you care to respond?
Wasn't he talking to me?
He does bring up something that I want to direct towards Paris. So a few minutes ago, while discussing the Division where you said it's going to evolve and the game that we get on launch isn't going to be what we get 6, 8, 9 months, a year down the line, similar with Destiny. Maybe that's the thing about Halo 5.
But how?
I haven't played it. I have not played Halo 5, so try to be non-spoilerish.
Yes.
Not spoilerish, because I still haven't fired it up at all. I've downloaded and everything, and I still want to go through the campaign only. I just want to say I don't want to touch it solo. I want to do a campaign only. But do you think that potentially that's what 343 was going for with Halo 5 as a starting off point with a new branch and then maybe eventually branching off and morphing and doing something totally that we're not expecting?
No. And give me some room on this so I can answer the whole thing.
Go for it.
Absolutely not. Because just like every other Halo story, this is the story. There's not going to be any changing. There's nothing, again, zero spoilers in this. Nothing's going to change from what we got at the start of that game until the end of that game. Now, is there a little bit of replayability going through the co-op and getting the skulls and doing things like that? Absolutely. My main criticism and why I made that tweet that I almost feel like I need to apologize for my part in the review that we did, I stand by what I said. I just felt like, as far as the story goes, I should have been way more critical in the review, because as I started thinking more about what I played, the story that was told, talking to other people that had completed that campaign story, it actually started to make me upset. Because I feel like 343 has, and look, the weight of the freaking world is on that studio's shoulders. I understand that Halo is the flagship for Microsoft, for Xbox. Halo has to succeed for Microsoft. There's just no way around that. And I felt like this story and where they're taking it was a step in the wrong direction. I thought, again, the pacing, just the way the story was told was shameful. And when I look back at Halo 2 and really think about Halo 2, Halo 2 had more of a structure story-wise than Halo 5 does, in my personal opinion.
And it was rushed. It was rushed, too.
Okay, but that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say here is, obviously there's going to be a Halo 6. Duh, we know that. But this, in my personal opinion, was nothing but pure setup for Halo 6. So I feel like going from Halo 4, getting to Halo 6, nothing was accomplished or truly answered in between in Halo 5. And that is my number one issue with this, that 343, I understand they had to fix the multiplayer, they had to get that right, and I think they did a fantastic job on the multiplayer side. But what they did to Halo campaign, in my personal opinion, is a step in the wrong direction. And if anything, I'm not excited to play Halo. And that's a shame, because, look, I play Halo multiplayer, that's fine. You know, I always have. But I come to Halo because of that campaign and because of that story. I am emotionally invested in those characters. Halo 5 stripped all that away. And that's it. That's all I have to say on it. I mean, again, I'm not sitting here trying to rip in like 343 is the worst studio ever. They did a fantastic job with about 75% of this game. It's that 25%, which is the story and the way it was told and its lead up going into the next sequel, that I just have a huge problem with.
And that's so interesting because, I mean, I'm a huge Halo fan and I went in so skeptical to Halo 5 Paris. But after the end, when the credits were rolling, I was like, you know what? Damn, I kind of really want to play Halo 6 right now. That actually isn't that bad of a direction to take the story in. Because Paris, honestly, I don't know what they would have done with the story if they hadn't gone that direction. Because I guess a part of me speculated that they would end up doing this. Again, when we spoiler free, people haven't played this game yet. But the fact that they ended up doing it, it kind of seemed like the only logical direction to take the series in. Because if that wasn't the plot point, I don't even know what the plot would be without that.
Here's the thing, and Pete, this is not a spoiler. This is just, it is what it is. You only play as Master Chief for about 20% of this game.
Three levels, count them, three levels. I take supreme offense at that.
The focus on Team Osiris, and more specifically Agent Locke, was the huge turnoff for me. And I'll leave it at that because I do not want to spoil this game. Again, we should do a spoiler cast one day, and I'll just dive deep into my issues with it. But that is at the crux of my issue. And I even said that during the review that we did. I just never connected with Locke. I never connected with Team Osiris. I could see a scenario being built around Buck where I could become emotionally invested into what they were trying to accomplish. But to be honest with you, I really don't get the purpose of Team Osiris, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't want to do spoilers here. But
I know the only thing I'll add to that, so we can move on, is I think the conversations I've had with other fans, I think it was a gameplay consideration because these are Spartan 4s. This is the new generation. They're supposed to move like that they do in Halo 5. So when you compare that to how the Spartans moved in 1, 2, and 3, move like a tank because you're wearing old school Mark IV armor and your Spartan 2, to me that made sense as a transition. I'm like, okay, Spartan 2s were walking tanks, they were walking artillery pieces. Now with 4s, they are fully F-16, F-18 fighter jets, mobilized. I get that, but the fact that they still tried to make it seem that Master Chief was half this game when he was so far from not, and he played exactly the same as Locke and his team did, that to me was the strange, being like, okay, what? I don't get that. If it would make more sense if Locke and his team played like that, and then Chief and his squad played like Halo's 1, 2, and 3. But I feel like ultimately that would confuse a lot of people out there and would not be received well in focus groups. So that's the only thing I would say of why I think that Osiris is so important, is to like teach people this is the new breed of Halo. These are Spartan 4s. This is the direction we want to take the series now. I mean, Spartan 2s are relics. They're very powerful relics, but they're still relics. I'm going to move away from them. So and that burned me as a blue team. I love blue team. I kind of bought this game because of blue team, and I was super pissed, to be honest, that they were such a small part of the game and how unfleshed out they were compared to how they were in the novels. How it's kind of like, if you didn't read the novels, it's kind of like, why are there three other Master Chiefs now? Why are two of them girls? Why do they all know each other? It just throws you in there with no expectation of like, hey, if you didn't read the books, you're going to be really, really lost right now.
Yeah, and that was the one other point I wanted to bring up. They leaned way too heavily on you knowing the extended universe lore, which, again, the average, look, 90% of the people that play Halo have absolutely no idea about the extended universe lore. So when you see Blue Team show up and you're like, wait, I thought Master Chief was the last Spartan. Wait, where are all these other Spartans now? Where are they coming from? You know, stuff like that. It's the little things. Why is Buck, who we know from ODST, why is he all of a sudden a Spartan? What happened? You know,
and you know what the sad thing is? It's all book stuff.
Exactly.
He became a Spartan in a book. Blue Team got off of the Oryx Shield world in a book. They met up with Master Chief in a book. So because I didn't read the last 6 years of Halo novels, I'm now honestly just in the dark, as a lot of modern Halo fans are. My only advantage is I read all of the books from Fall of Reach up until Ghost of Oryx and then Ghost of Onyx, and then stopped, keep calling him Oryx. Destiny. So that for me is my expanding universe. Same thing with, you know, when I'm a Star Wars fan, I love the expanding universe of Star Wars, but now that is retconned and it's no more. Yeah, so it's
agreed.
I'm kind of back at square one of like, I have no idea what's happening in Force Awakens now because it's a new universe. That's how I kind of feel with Halo 5 at this point. So,
and if I can make one last point, just one last statement on this, and then we're going to move on for people mad at me on Twitter. I just mad that I said that, right? Destiny has absolutely nothing to do with this. Nothing. They're two completely different games. I judge Halo for what Halo is. I do not judge it compared to Destiny because it's a different game. We might joke about it and all that kind of stuff, but end of the day, I am a Halo fan. Halo is what got me into first-person shooters on a console, and it will always have a special place in my heart. I am critical because I want it to be great, period.
All right, I haven't said a word, and I won't, because...
I think we should do a Halo episode. We should. I don't want to spoil this for Pete, because I think the plot is good. You know, I think it's worth playing, and you'll enjoy it.
Well, and that's part of the thing. I've said it for years, and same as with Paris, the single player is where it's always been for me. And this is the one time that it's been the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Having read as many of the books as I have, possibly only being eclipsed by Poston with reading as many of the books, I've had it and I haven't even touched it. And I don't know if that's because I am such a fanboy of Destiny or, you know, because of other obligations, but it's not something that I've like, was it 3 years ago it was five. It had to have been Halo 4, I think, when, you know, we all played till 4 a.m. with Danny falling asleep on the controller.
Yes.
Walking into walls, yeah. Being left behind at the beginning of the level while the other three of us are beating the game, and, you know, us dying and respawning back at Danny.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Socks. That's right. Socks. Anyone that knows me or follows me on social media knows I have a thing for socks. And I have to tell you guys about Mack Weldon. These guys were dope enough to send me a few pairs. And I have to say, they're the most comfortable things in the history of hosiery. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? Whatever. I'm sticking with it. They're that good. They stay up. They have this little padding on the bottom that literally feels like little pillows for your feet. And not just that, they're mad stylish as well. They also sent me some t-shirts. I mean, who doesn't dig t-shirts, right? But these shirts are special. They have this thing called XT2 silver, which means they've got silver woven into the fabric of the shirt. And because of the silver tech in the shirts, means they're antimicrobial and anti-odor. And with Fallout 4 coming out soon, this means you can literally get lost in a wasteland for days without smelling or needing VADs to get healthy. And if that wasn't enough, if you don't dig what you get, doesn't fit right or whatever, they'll replace it or refund your money, no questions asked, or returns needed. The whole process is a breeze. Just head on over to macweldon.com, that's macweldon.com, to place your order and get 20% off by using the promo code GTR. That's promo code GTR and save 20% right now over at macweldon.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Can I say something very quick before we... Because I really want to go to the next question and stuff. But very quick. Look, people are going to talk about Halo, the good and bad, every time the game comes out. I remember when Halo 2 came out, everybody was complaining about two things. Playing as Arbiter.
Wait, what? Who complained about that?
A lot of people complained about that.
No, people did. People did.
People also complained about the ending. They felt it was...
Now, the ending was
really
bad.
Unfinished. Okay.
No doubt about then, that.
And like later Halos, like then Halo 3 came out. Oh, it's not better than Call of Duty, because that was the time that Call of Duty was at its peak.
It was so Modern Warfare versus Halo 3. Yeah, come on.
Look, now with the whole Destiny and whatever, people are going to complain about everything. Look, as a fan, I'm enjoying the game. Is it perfect? No. Do I like it? Yes. And I go and play online with no issues. I'm having a blast. To me, at the end of the day, that's what matters. If like what Paris said, that he wants the campaign to be better, hey, Paris, speak about that. And hopefully, if the more people talk about that online, in which a lot of websites has been doing that, hopefully 343 are going to make some changes for the next game. And that's it. I mean, what else you could do?
No, and that's all you can do. Now, I'll say one last thing, and I'm just throwing it out there because I know certain people at Microsoft do listen to this podcast, according to what they say. I would absolutely love to have Frank O'Connor on this podcast, complete spoilers, and talk about the Halo 5 campaign, the story, and just the extended lore. It would be a fascinating conversation to try and understand the decisions that were made and why they went the direction that they did.
The why.
Yeah. Keyword why. Absolutely.
That would be a good conversation. Yeah.
So nameless Microsoft employee that we know listens to this, make it happen.
All right. So this next question is from Joe Sanchez, and he wants to know why on so many shows or podcasts, the console war is a long running hot debate. But most of the time, the fans can get caught up in NPD sales figures or specs 1080p versus 720 or who had the best exclusive. And all these things are always subjective. What he wants to know, and he thinks, is why the PS4 really is winning the console war is because of its emphasized community embracement.
Yep.
Something that Xbox did better
yep.
in the 360 community.
He just answered his own question. That's exactly why it is. And again, we've talked about this many times in the past. It goes back to E3 2013. We were sitting in that crowd during the Sony press conference, and they said DRM free and $399. They won right there. Done. Right there. And ever since, I mean, they're still riding that wave to this day. So we can argue specs. We can say whatever we want, but that's just the fact of the matter right now. And he is correct. Microsoft did a way better job in the 360 generation with their community engagement. They're getting a lot better now, but they've lost the momentum and they are playing catch up. That's just a fact. But end of the day, and we've said it 10 million times, play what you want, enjoy what you want. It really doesn't matter.
Yep. Agreed. And you know what? I'm going to give them the cold, guys. I like this. I like this email. So, Joe, check your email in a few seconds. I'm going to send you the Valve code, Steam. And, it's basically every game from Valve. Past, present, and also future. Forever is yours. So congratulations, Joe. All right, so any other questions? I want to read like at least two more, and then we go to Paris. I think he has a review for this week. A couple reviews, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a couple.
Want to pick like two more?
Okay. Pick the next one from Darren Thomas. He has his own Miss Cleo prediction.
By the way, I heard the terrible Miss Cleo last week. Just don't do it again.
I believe that was Poston.
Yeah.
That was the beer talking. See, I didn't remember it until he said that. I was like, oh, wait, that was me.
That was basically drunk Poston doing the Cleo. Miss Cleo.
All right. So he believes that Microsoft will not make another console in the traditional sense. They will have an Xbox app that runs on Windows 10 and also may make a Steam Machine type PC, which runs a slimmed down version of Windows 10 for people who don't want to buy a high-end PC. Wants to know what our thoughts are on this. And I know Paris has something. I think Paris brought this up a year and a half ago.
Dude, this is straight up from the conversation. I know,
literally,
with Paris.
He was like, I'm going to just write verbatim what Paris said like 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Miss Cleo, my thinking back then, I knew. No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I did talk about this a while back. I could see it potentially, but I will say, as we sit here today in November 2015, there'll be another Xbox console.
And there will be another PlayStation and Nintendo.
Yeah, consoles just make sense for the foreseeable future.
I just don't know.
Can I make a rant towards Microsoft, though, since we're talking Windows 10 and all that?
Sure. You're on the rant.
Isn't it? Go for it.
So I got the Xbox One wireless adapter for the PC, right? Controller so I can, use my Xbox One controller when I play some PC games, right? Well,
yep.
I'm getting the Steam Link. Literally, I will have it tomorrow. So by the next episode, I'll have some thoughts on Steam Link, right? Well, Steam Link and the Xbox One wireless adapter will not work. The 360 wireless adapter, ironically, does work on the Steam Link. I can't use the Xbox One controller wirelessly with the Steam Link or even a Steam Machine. Like, you got the Steam Machine, you can't use it on there either. And I'm a little salty about that because the reason being, you have to use Windows 10 for this. And I think that's a big load of crap. I really do. This is all this is marketing for Windows 10. They're just trying to push people to do PC gaming on Windows 10 when we know gosh darn well they can easily develop a driver that'll work on Linux, OS 10, or whatever other operating system you may want to try. So I got a problem with this because Microsoft did the same crap back in 2007 when Gears of War was coming out on the PC. If you remember, it was going to be Windows 7 only. Or was that Windows 7 or Vista only, I believe. Because if you had XP, you couldn't play Gears of War on the PC. You know, they've tried this nonsense before. Don't gate your products behind operating systems to try and market people to get a specific operating system. If Xbox division, if Microsoft truly wants to expand into PC gaming more than they currently are, open up your products to all PC gamers and not just the gamers that want to use Windows 10. Because let's be real here, not everybody wants to use Windows 10. Just a fact. There's people that are still on Windows 7. There's people that want to use Linux. There's people that want to use Steam OS. There's people that want to use OS 10. They don't necessarily.
Or Mac.
That's what I just said. Let's get your operating. Let's get your operating systems right here, Danny. No, I'm kidding. But the point remains. You've gated one of your new products to one particular platform when you should be opening it to everything, because that's what PC gaming is all about. Being able to play on whatever you want. That's all. Ran over.
Yeah. Well, I can't, like, I've been playing Steam Machine a lot more than I'm telling you. I've been spending hours and hours playing this a lot. And I have my Xbox One connected directly to the Steam Machine. If I'm going to play wirelessly, then I'll use the Steam controller. That's the only one that that I use wirelessly. It doesn't work with other controllers and stuff, and even the PlayStation 4 controller works.
Yeah, Bluetooth. Also. But see, and that goes back to my point. You can use the 360 controller on a Steam machine with the wireless dongle, and the Xbox One does work if you. I think it works if you plug it in USB. Maybe it doesn't. I got to look that one up.
You could do that with the 360 also. That's how I've been playing.
No. I'm saying the Xbox One controller. Can you plug that in via USB cable and it works on a Steam machine? Okay.
Yeah, that's how I've been playing.
But the wireless doesn't, and I got a problem with that.
No.
Yeah, so it sucks.
And I'm going to talk about this next week and stuff, but my only negative thing about this console is that I can't turn it on with the controller. With the Steam controller or any controller, I can't turn it on, but I could turn off the console, which is weird.
You need to physically touch the console to turn it on?
Yes, I have to get up,
that
physically
is so strange.
Turn it on. Yeah, that's very strange. That's the only negative. I'm like, it bothers me, but whatever.
They can fix that in a firmware update, I'm pretty sure. And you got to remember,
they've been updating it.
Technically, this is still beta, so you know, just provide that true. Feedback.
I agree.
Yeah, give them your feedback, Danny, and hopefully they can work it into the future versions.
Yeah. All right, so one more question, and then we'll go to the review. Let's see.
This one's from Brandon. He asked, what will it take for Nintendo to be bigger than PlayStation and Xbox? And in a separate question, could we ever see a video game team up such as Master Chief, Marcus Fenix, or, as he puts it, Tomb Raider, a.k.a. Lara Croft, and Drake from Uncharted? Second question, no, I wish. God, I wish Super Smash Brothers was a thing on PlayStation and Xbox. That Sony All-Stars garbage, I hate that. I don't want to play. Don't recommend that to me. I don't like that game. But I love the idea of what he's proposing, but it's just because licensing hell. The same reason we don't get GoldenEye anymore.
I disagree, Pawson. I disagree.
You think we can have that? You think we can have a team?
Because here's why. Whoever thought years later Nintendo and Sega will work together?
Because with Sega went out of
back
business.
Then,
yeah.
But I'm saying you never know business. 10, 20 years from now, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, I remember as a kid, I was like, man, Nintendo, Sega, they're like straight up enemies. Like, and then years later, late 90s, 2000s, then we see Sonic with Mario. You never know in this business. Anything could happen.
But I feel
I wouldn't be surprised. You never know.
Again, I would like to be proven wrong. I think it'd be a cool idea, but I just think you're comparing a completely different era in gaming when Sega and Nintendo were king, and what now PlayStation and Microsoft have formed the console we're into is completely different than what it used to be. So I don't see them meeting up.
I disagree. I'm not saying it's going to happen in 5 years. I'm not saying that. but you never know. What happened if Microsoft goes out of business or doesn't want to make no more hardware?
Well, the world's corporate America just cease to exist without Windows? How could we move on?
No, I'm talking about Xbox.
You mean Xbox Edition, yes, if it fails.
Yeah, like, you never know what could happen. And maybe one day we'll see something crazy like Halo on PlayStation 10 or whatever. You never know, because
I hope not. It's crazy, thinking. But I see what you're saying.
I love competition too, but thinking about it, just remember in the 90s, we were like, man, Sega and Nintendo enemies. We've never seen them working together. And then we see them working together years and years later. It's crazy.
But as Poston said, they closed up. They shuttered up. They had to find some way to make money. And what other way than to open up some of the licensing?
Yeah.
So you're trying to tell me that will never, ever, ever happen with Microsoft and PlayStation?
Chief Marcus Fenix thing, I mean, there's two totally separate worlds, totally different developers. I don't see how those two characters would intermingle into a game successfully.
Well, the way the Halo story is going, I wouldn't hold the
rose. I knew you were going to say that.
And then, like, Lara Croft, the one that does make a potential sense would be Lara Croft and Drake, because they're the whole, their whole the explore ethos, and that would
be cool.
They're two totally different IPs. I don't know, man. Mm-hmm.
If Lara Croft isn't funny either, so I don't know.
You know
what
would be cool? Imagine Master Chief comes up out of nowhere. Destiny.
I mean, if he was like a playable character, I wouldn't complain. I'd play as a Spartan. Okay, Destiny. You kidding me?
There's a Spartan that came up on Dead or Alive years ago. Remember that?
Spartan.
That's a fighting game. That's out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion. Although in the latest release in the Taken King and Destiny, there's one area where you're supposed to go up through the spire and retrieve something for Cade, and you're supposed to open up a specific, you're supposed to open up the chest or whatever. If you don't do that and you look at one of the boxes on the wall and you actually open up your ghost, he talks about a warrior who fought and then slept for, who did like the 100-year sleep or something like that. And it's supposed to be an homage to Master Chief from Bungie in Destiny. So it's not out of the realm. I don't ever see it happening, but I mean, granted, at the end of the day, it's still Bungie. That is their baby. That's what everybody knows Bungie for, as well as in the first part, in the first vanilla Destiny, there is like you can see the outline of the Master Chief helmet in a wall when you're on Venus, I believe, when you're fighting, the right before the tank level. So, you know, they still honor the fact that, you know, that is their bread and butter. That's where they cut their teeth. So I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, because you never say never.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Danny, not to change the subject too much, but since we're on the topic of Destiny, remember earlier when we were talking about the Big Show and what the Big Show said, him being in the top 1%, blah, 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 right?
God, I can't believe this.
Reddit found his PSN ID and confirmed that he is in fact correct. And do you know what his PSN ID is?
What?
Captain Insano.
Wow. Danny hiding in plain sight. I love it.
Danny doesn't get it.
Because I don't care.
No. I don't care. Captain Insano was his name on The Water Boy, that movie from the 90s with Adam Sandler.
Oh, The Water Boy. You're right. Yes.
And I completely just made this up. So continue. Let's go on with the podcast. None of it's true. I just told you.
Man, wow. I feel betrayed.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
There's still plenty of football to be played this season, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com, where millionaires are being crowned all season long. DraftKings is fantasy football on demand. With so much money up for grabs, every game is the big game and every play matters. Renew old rivalries or create new ones by playing head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players across the nation. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Like we've been saying all season, folks, why be stuck in a season-long fantasy football league draft when you can play every week at DraftKings.com, pick your players, set up your matchups, and cash in. Look, people were talking about Tom Brady early in the season. Now people are talking about Devontae Freeman. I mean, there's always going to be that gem that you can find. If you can find them at a low price, you can be a winner at DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Use our promo code GAMERTAG and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter that promo code GAMERTAG for a free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Okay, so this the first part of Brandon's question before we went off on our tangent was him saying, what will it take for Nintendo to be bigger than PlayStation and Xbox? Brandon, if I knew the answer to that, I would be a millionaire working at Nintendo right now. I think a competent online system would be a great way to getting them out of the gate. I think expanding into either acquiring new studios, like, you know, just straight up buying Platinum or acquiring other studios that, you know, could use some funding. They need more brain tanks. They need more Miyamotos, essentially. They need to pull in new young talent from the industry, grab them before they get picked up with licensing deals, and bring them in Nintendo's fold and have them make games for Nintendo consoles. So that way you still have your Marios and your Zeldas from the old guard, but then you now have this new guard that's not just Japanese, but like from a worldwide perspective, new people, new blood, making new games, new IPs.
I don't agree with you.
I don't agree with you.
I don't agree with you, Paulston. And just let me real quick, Danny. Danny. I don't agree with what you're saying that Nintendo needs to bring in more studios, like quote unquote new blood on the development side. They are the number one developer in the world. Their exclusive titles isn't the issue. It's hardware. They need a system that can compete with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Like you said, a competent, easy to use online system and get third party support. If they had the same third party support that the other two had along with their exclusive lineup, I dare say they'd be in direct competition with the big boys right now easily because their games are just that good.
And I have another one too. Don't confuse the consumer. Because I think that happened with the Wii U. A lot of people got confused about it. They bought the Wii, the regular Wii, and then they bought a game for the Wii U. And then it wouldn't work, you know, because of the name difference and whatever. Now, here's the thing, too, that by you making the system good with a lot of cool features and make it as simple for those that don't know much about gaming, because they were very, very successful with the Wii, and it wasn't a crazy graphic console. Like, it wasn't a strong console at all. And it wasn't even HD, and it still sold more than the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. The only issues they had was later, a lot of the third parties were not supporting the Wii, and that kind of really, really killed it. And a lot of people were not buying the games, the software. They were buying the console. So the console sold a lot, but that hurt them at the end by them not buying games for the system. So
I just think they could use a wider worldview. And Paris, I agree. Their first party lineup is incredible. We're not denying that. I'm just thinking if they want to have that third party reach that PlayStation Xbox has, obviously, yes, they need to have third party games work well in their systems. But, I mean, they need to make it more than just, you know, it's the Nintendo version. I mean, I don't care if it's, you know, exclusive contracts for DLC or anything else like that. They have to have some kind of edge over the other two to get them back in the limelight. And I just don't think that, you know, the new awesome Zelda game, as amazing as that's going to be, no doubt about it, that's just not enough to put them back where I think they could be. I mean, I think they do have the ability And I think we all, you know, think that they had the creative ability to be on top, but they just obviously lacked the drive to compete with Microsoft and Sony because they see what they're doing and they want no part of it because they have their slice of the pie and they're eating it and they're having a great time right now. So they seem like they're fine with the status quo. At least that's the way I see it from an outsider.
I have a crazy prediction. You ready for this? Miss Cleo, are you there, Miss Cleo? Miss Cleo.
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there?
Oh, I didn't do the voice. Okay.
It's $2 a minute, Danny. Come on, hurry.
All right. Here's my prediction. 2016, we're going to finally see this console, and it's coming out holiday 2016. They're not going to wait till 2017.
With
that's
Zelda.
My prediction.
With Zelda at launch.
With Zelda.
Zelda at launch.
With Zelda at launch.
It makes sense, actually. They should. Mm-hmm. They probably won't, but they should.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. It'll be Star smart. Fox in there, too. Go ahead. And
honestly,
just
think about it.
You're right. Star Fox isn't out. God, freaking mm-hmm. Nintendo. Jesus.
Star Fox maybe will come out summer of next year. Mm-hmm.
It'll be on Wii U, but I just think it needs to be a launch title for the NX, just as Zelda is, because it's not going to get it. It's not going to, not enough people are going to go out and buy a Wii U just for Star Fox. Yeah. Everyone who has a Wii U is to be like, oh, yeah, Star Fox. We've been waiting on this for years. But it's just not going to move the units. Yep. A new Nintendo system would move units with the Star Fox and Zelda names attached to it.
Well, so one last thing. I think that they are going to tease it early 2016, like at a press conference maybe.
Maybe a Nintendo Direct or something, yeah.
No, not... Well, they could do that too if they want.
I can see them announcing it direct, but then like full-on E3 show. Like, you know, no hold nothing back. If I was them, that's
and
what
then,
I'd do.
And then once E3 comes, well, actually, GDC, I don't know if they're willing to do that there, but I know when E3 comes, then announce the name of the console, talk about it, promote it, show all your games, holiday 2016, just surprise everyone. Nobody's expecting this at all. And that's what my prediction. Miss Cleo, I hope you agree with me or not.
No, didn't I just say I did?
No. That's Paris. I'm talking to Miss Cleo, not you.
I can't do that voice too much. I'll lose my voice. I got to do this review.
All right, Paris, you want to do the review or you want to save for next week?
I've been reviewing some Logitech products with their whole gaming lineup on the PC side, their hardware lineup. And one that I've had now I've had this thing for about almost a month and a half at this point, is I have the Logitech G920 Driving Force Racing Wheel along with the companion Driving Force Shifter. And this is comparable to the racing wheel that I reviewed a couple months back, the G29 that was for the PlayStation 4 and the PC. This one, the G920, is for the Xbox One and as well for the PC. Because if you guys remember when I talked about this previously, I wasn't sure what the racing wheel for the Xbox One, if it would be compatible with the PC. But it is. So I reviewed this strictly on the Xbox One since it is virtually identical to the G29 when it comes to the PC side, except for the control scheme is more geared for Xbox One. So I played strictly Forza 6 on this and it's amazing. I mean, I don't even know what else to say. It's a fantastic racing wheel. If you were into that high-end pure sim experience, you're going to want to get this racing wheel on the Xbox One and Forza 6 obviously is a perfect complement for this, as well as you could pick up something like Project Cars as well. Now, add in that shifter with it so you can go pure manual with this. It's amazing. And look, I don't drive a stick in real life, but I do in my video games now with this shifter, and it's great. I love it. I think, again, if you're willing to drop the coin, because I'll say again, the price just for the G920 is $399, and the shifter, which is optional, is another $59.99. So you're basically buying a console if you want to get this racing wheel. But if you're hardcore into that whole racing scene, this is for you. I would recommend it 100%, but just be very wary of the price. Any questions?
Okay. It looks beautiful. How does the handling alter based on track design, or if it's raining or not? Do you have any kind of like tactile feedback to tell you how dangerous
force feedback, I think,
and again, this goes back to Forza 6. I mean, Forza 6 obviously with the weather effects and everything, mm-hmm. it simulates it as close as possible. I don't know how to explain it. It does. I'll just say yes. I mean, obviously, it's not as if I'm in my real car.
Yeah,
but it gets pretty darn close. I'll put it that way.
You're hydroplaning around a corner in Forza, you actually feel like you're losing control of the wheel as you're driving.
Right, and that's the whole point of this Logitech line, the G29 and now this G920, is that force feedback that you're going to get. And you also get force feedback in that shifter as well. If you're going around and you're trying to shift into a gear and you're skidding off the road, you're going to feel it when you're doing it. And I think that's the cool thing about this wheel that you're getting from it. Again, I cannot stress enough, this is expensive as hell, okay? Though I can't get around that. But you get what you pay for. You know what I mean? Because this is top of the line. This is quality. If you're into hardcore racing sims, this is something that you're going to want to add. And like I talked about in the past with the G29, you know, this is something that you can secure firmly. You're going to need a big space, secure it on like a desk or something like that. Again, I play in my office, so I secure it there. The racing pedals feel fantastic. Just the entire pack. It's really great. I don't have a racing chair because, you know, you can buy those as well. Get one of those, get this racing wheel, and you're going to be locked in. It's great.
I have a question. Batteries? How's that work? Is it rechargeable?
Well, you're plugging it into the Xbox One. That's where you're getting your power from.
Okay.
It's USB. So, I mean, you're plugging in Xbox One. If you're on the PC, you're going to plug in your USB on the PC.
So this will work on the Steam Machine probably too?
That is a very good question. I have not tried it on that. That is something I should try. I don't know. I do not know because I'm plugging into Windows 10 on my PC. That's a very good question.
That would have been the other question. Is there compatibility for, you know, obviously Xbox and or PlayStation by design?
No, this will not work on PlayStation 4. And that's the whole point. That's why you have the G29 specifically for the PlayStation 4 and PC. Okay. And then you have the G920 specifically for the Xbox One, but both do work on the PC no matter which one you pick up. And actually thinking about it, no, this will not work on a Steam Machine because Logitech's G series software that you need to have installed on your PC, they don't have a Linux version. So it wouldn't work. Yeah, so it wouldn't work. Not to say they won't have that in the future, but currently, no, it would not work.
Okay. Cool. Anybody else?
I'm jealous. Pete? The last time I used a wheel was like on PS2, and they were terrible back then. It's nothing like this now. This is so cool.
Well, moving on, because again, I have had other products as well. So I've also been reviewing two of their headsets, and that is their G633 and their G933. And this is their new line of PC and console gaming headsets. This does work on mobile. It works on the PC, the Xbox One, and the PlayStation 4. The 633 is the wired version. So on the PC, you're going to plug it in via the USB cable. On console, you're going to plug in the included 3.5 millimeter cable, so which you would plug directly into the game controller on the PlayStation 4, or if you have the chat adapter or the new Xbox One controller, you plug it in directly there. The 933 is just the wireless version of it. Other than that, they're basically identical. For PC gaming, I put this right up there with the Astro series. I put this right up there with Steel series, those type of headsets. It's that good. But the one advantage it does have because of the Logitech G software that is on the PC, you have DTS:X headphone surround sound along with Dolby Digital 7.1 surround. And let me tell you, DTS headphone on this thing when I'm gaming or watching a movie on the PC is freaking amazing. I love it. The sound quality is fantastic. The build quality of these headsets are really great. And it's funny because they're so flexible. The first time I picked them up, I'm like, crap, I'm going to break these damn things, but because they're just that flexible. And ironically enough, I had a conference call with Logitech in the middle of me reviewing this. And I was talking to some of the guys that actually made the headset themselves. And we just went over that build quality. And it was something that they did on purpose because they want gamers to be comfortable while they're playing. You know what I mean? That's the whole point. That's the comfort level that you're getting from these. Price-wise, the 633 comes in at $149, and the 933s come in at $199. So when you compare them to something like Astro or even the SteelSeries H Wireless, they are you're getting a little more value for your buck. But I want to stress, I love these on the PC. I hate them on the console. It's not good for the console because you're not getting any of the Dolby Digital surround. You're basically just having stereo headsets at that point, and I think there's better options if that's what you're looking for. If you want the true Dolby Digital surround on a console, go with Astro, go with SteelSeries. Do not go with these. Now, if you just want something that can work for both and you don't care that you don't have as great a sound on a console, these are fine. They're priced reasonably, and they're great. But these, make no mistake, in my personal opinion, these are PC gaming headphones. These are not meant for the console, even though they do work on them. And again, when I was talking to Logitech, I brought this up to them that I just wasn't really feeling them on a console. And they were assuring me, no, because like at first I couldn't even get it to work on the PlayStation 4. For some reason, it wasn't recognizing them, but eventually got all that figured out. But sound quality is drastically different when you go from the PC to the console. So I would just say buyer beware if you're looking to play these on a console. But if you're looking for something that's reasonably priced that has high-end audio and comfort level, absolutely go for it on the PC. Oh, and the 933s being wireless, they connect via USB dongle. That's how you get wireless.
I do have a question, Paris, because for all the products that you review, you're getting the Steam Link, correct?
Correct.
Does it have like USB? Like, can you connect USB stuff in there or no?
Yes.
Or is this just strictly? Yeah. Do you think those products that you have, do you think that will work for that?
Well, again, it goes back to the thing I was talking about with the racing wheel. Logitech doesn't have they don't have their G series software. So it would be the same scenario. They would have to make a Linux version. And with the Steam Link, just since you bring that up, you can't wear headphones with those.
I know, because I'm having the same issue.
Yeah. So, I mean, just in general, you can't wear headphones with those. So that's one limitation. That's something I hope they can figure out in the future. But right now, you couldn't wear headphones with those regardless.
Yeah. So I have a question. Sure. You said that PC sounded better because... is that the software or is that because the PC, your PC just may have a better sound card than what gets pushed out?
No, it's the software because the DTSX headphone and the Dolby Digital 7.1 is all processed through the Logitech G software. That's how it works. Because again, I guess I should go on and add a little bit. You can completely customize your EQ, just everything, just the bass level, treble, everything through that software palette. So It's all custom to your fit and how you want it to sound. And you can toggle back and forth between DTS and Dolby Digital if you prefer, or you could turn it off completely. You know, it's up to you. If you want to just have just a straight stereo stereo headphone performance from that, you can do that if you want. But it is the Logitech G software that's powering all of that. So that's why you can't replicate that on a console, because again, console doesn't have that software. Whereas, you know, when you look at their competition in something like SteelSeries or Astro, they're giving you a mix amp where it's all being processed on the mix amp, whereas these Logitech headphones don't have a mix amp. You're plugging directly into the PC and it's being processed on the PC via their software.
Interesting. Okay. All right, that's it, Paris?
Yeah, I think that's it. I just got the Logitech G410 keyboard, but I just started using it, so I'll do that in a couple of weeks, and I'll talk about that as well. But again, I want to thank Logitech. They've been showing us a lot of love, allowing us to check out their new series of all their hardware products, so I'm sure we'll have some more in the future.
Yeah, cool. And that's how you review products, guys, the good and the bad. And you, Paris, you said it the right way. That's a perfect example right there, right?
I almost forgot we're on this podcast, and I was going to say something I would say in the chat. So I'll just say thank you.
Oh, you're a punk. All right, guys. So we're going to wrap it up, but we have more surprises coming in the future, man. So stay tuned to Gamer Tag Radio. Hope you enjoy both episodes for this week. You know, Monday we had Tomb Raider content, and now we have fan mail, which is pretty cool. So, man, the holidays is coming up. So, guys, we got to start doing our Secret Santa that we always do every year. You have to do that very, very soon. You know what I would like to do? We should do an episode of us finally getting our Secret Santa names for the first time. To see, like, I want to get hear our reaction from everybody.
I like that.
What do you guys think? That would be cool, right? We've never done that. All right, everybody's quiet. Nobody's excited for anyways, we'll probably come up with something.
Danny's going to give everybody emeralds.
Yes, everybody's getting get emeralds.
And you get an emerald.
Green shirt, green everything. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, or head over to Play That It. And
oh, can I say one last thing? Can I say one last thing?
Can I finish my thing first?
Well, you interrupt me all the time, so what's new?
You just interrupt. See, everybody says that I interrupt people. That is interruption right there, guys. I'm in the middle of promoting the podcast, and this freaking guy comes and just stopped the whole thing. What is it?
Now you know how it feels. Now you know my pain. No, continue. Finish up, and then I just want to say one last thing.
Anyways, you can also call us 76273-7GTR. That's 76273-7GTR. Email us fanmail at gamertagreer.com. Or if you want, and I'm taking my time just to bother Paris, you could also subscribe on iTunes, go to Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and all these other places. Or you could download your favorite podcast app and just search Gamer Tag Radio. And that's it. You will support us. And that's it, Paris. The mic is yours.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I got the new Apple TV. So I'll be talking about that on an episode here really soon. But it has potential for gaming. I'll leave it at that.
What?
And I also want to say, because I have the Apple TV, I put that out in my family room. I disconnected the Xbox One and I haven't reconnected it, and I don't know when I'm going to connect it again. All right. That's the end of the show. See you guys later. I'm out.
Wow. This guy has been.
It's 11 o'clock.
Hashtag.
You know your Xboxes?
Paris hating on Xbox. Hashtag Paris hating on Xbox.
You know what? You know, jokes aside, again, with all the Halo stuff, just real quick before we go, there is this one guy on Twitter. Man, he was just mad. He was just like, you're always on there hating on Xbox. You're just an Xbox hater. Just exclamation points and just anger on Twitter. It's like, dude, relax. I don't hate Xbox. Hmm. Or do I?
Man, I would have mentioned the name of somebody that works in the gaming industry. And this person always mentioned about that, about Paris. This person already knows that we're like, some of us are fans of their products, but they really want to change Paris' mind. Man, I want to hear what Paris has to say about certain games or certain products.
Hey, look, so, man, I just give my opinion. It's just my opinion. And hey, all jokes aside, I'm gonna be serious for a second. It is literally just an opinion. I am not saying I'm right. I am wrong way more than I'm right. I was telling a dude that on Twitter the other day, too, because he was mad at me about Halo 2. I'm like, dude, I'm wrong 90% of the time, so why are you listening to me? I'm just talking. Don't listen to me.
You know, he's been behaving this episode. Paris is the one that's been a pain in the butt today, man. Man, guys, hashtag Paris hating on the Xbox. Oh, all right, because see, P had a hashtag for me last week, blame on Danny. Yeah, there was a couple people
blame
that,
Danny.
That
hashtag blame Danny works blame every Danny, time there you go. Works for everything. Yeah. It's like Red's hot sauce. You can put it on everything.
Yeah. All right guys, until next week, we're out. Peace
out.
Later.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Oh,